Hi, everyone, and welcome to Tiebreaker Tennis, the tennis podcast that's part of the Total Sports 24/7 network. I'm Chris Hayes, your host. You can find me on X at TotalSports_247. You can find this podcast by searching Total Sports 247, all one word, on your preferred podcast app. Stay tuned to the Total Sports 24/7 network this week for coverage of the Preakness and the last weekend of the Premier League. Those episodes will be hitting your podcast feeds tomorrow. Also, look at the most recent episodes that we've published on the network. One for the PGA Championship that started today, and I collaborated with Fred Dinger 23 on X on a Warning Track Power Hour episode where we talked about overachievers in fantasy baseball and where it is we stand on their progress throughout the season and what we think of them moving forward. It's a great episode, so look for that in your podcast feeds. Again, search Total Sports 247 on your preferred platform to find us, rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. This will be a quick episode covering the Rome semifinals that take place tomorrow and on the ATP side and the final in the WTA 1000 event for Saturday. So we'll start with the men, and the matchup, one seems to be fairly lopsided and the other seems to be quite even, a coin flip maybe even. So let's start with the, the more lopsided affair. This is between Alexander Zverev and Alejandro Tabilo. So if we're looking at current odds for this match, the best odds you can get, this is how lopsided it is right now. The best odds that you can get as I'm recording this close to 8:45 Eastern on Thursday, Tabilo's a plus 310, and that is on FanDuel. Zverev's shortest odds are minus 360 on DraftKings. Tabilo has had the tournament of his life, making a semifinal here in a Masters 1000 event. He had the memorable, notable win over Novak Djokovic in the third round. Backed that up with a very good win over Karen Khachanov in the fourth round, and then had another solid win, taking advantage of an unseeded player in the quarterfinal, Zhijian Zhang, and cruised into the semifinals. We thought that Zhang would take out Tabilo. We like Zhang's game on clay more than others do, but Tabilo proved to be too much, and Zhang might have been a little bit tired, we're guessing, making it that far into a tournament, which is quite frankly unusual for him. So that's how Tabilo got here. Zverev had a really nice win in the quarterfinal against Taylor Fritz. Fritz has been playing pretty well on the clay, and we've been impressed with Fritz. You know, his ranking has dipped a little bit, but he was seeded 11th at this tournament here in Rome, but he, to us, looks just a little bit different. He looks fitter, he looks stronger, and he looks ready to compete week in and week out, and I don't know that that's something that you could say about Fritz in the past. Maybe that's a little bit harsh. He's ranked 13 right now. He's been as high as 5, but we think that Fritz should be quite pleased with his quarterfinal showing here in Rome heading into the French Open. Zverev beat him 4-3. There was a little bit of a scary situation in this match early on when Fritz was serving. Zverev hit the return. I think it was right off the return. And then as Fritz was volleying back, Zverev slipped behind the baseline and scraped up both of his hands on the top of his hands pretty badly. And his pinky finger looked like almost dislocated or broken. And I believe that was on his left hand. So more important to the backhand there for Zverev. But there was an immediate medical timeout where he was treated, and it didn't really seem to affect him the rest of the way. He took care of the match in straight sets, and so we'll see if that factors into this semifinal match against Tabilo. Before that, Zverev had had a win against Nuno Borges in the round prior, so not a bad draw there for Zverev in that to get that matchup. But has and then Dardari in the round before, and Vukic before that. So a pretty straightforward draw for Zverev, who kind of, I don't know, maybe deserved this kind of draw for this 1,000 event. He'd had a little bit of a mediocre season on the clay, losing to the likes of Cerundolo. He lost to Tsitsipas, who has had somewhat of a resurgent last couple months, and was just a not overly impressive on a surface that he can play quite well on. So the three seed takes care of business throughout and advances to the semifinal of a 1,000 tournament for the ninth time in his career. Now get this. This is kind of a ridiculous stat. So Zverev's, this is courtesy of the ATP Tour or ATPTour.com. Zverev's Wednesday victory ties him with former world number three David Ferrer for fourth most clay court ATP Masters 1000 semifinal appearances, and the series began in 1990. So this is Zverev's ninth semifinal in a clay court 1000 event, tying him with Ferrer. You might be able to guess who the top three are. Federer with 19, Djokovic 28, and Nadal 37. That is ridiculous. Just another statistic to show the dominance of the big three. Twice as many semifinals on clay in Masters 1000 events than anybody else who has ever played in these events. And the series began in 1990. So Zverev should be, again, pleased with this play so far, especially against Fritz, and especially after recovering from that fall that he had. So what do we make of this line? We're staying away. We don't think there's any value in betting Zverev at minus 360. We don't really think there's too much value in betting Tabilo at plus 310, because we think Zverev's going to win in straight sets, and we think he could take care of business quite handily. So this could be a live bet situation if that number comes down for Zverev, maybe even if he loses the first set. I would bet that if Zverev does lose the first set, he'd still be favored to win the match. So there's really no reason to play this. We're not excited about, we're honestly not even that excited about this match. So this first one is a stay away. We'll see if Zverev takes care of business and what he'll do in the final against either Nicolas Jarry or Tommy Paul. One more thing before we get to that Paul and Jarry match. Zverev, in terms of ATP stats, I want to get this for you because, Tim, this was quite surprising. So in terms of serve leaders overall, there's a serve rating on the ATP Tour website that accounts for a few stats that are compiled into a serve rating figure. So it's first serve percentage, first serve percentage points won, second serve percentage points won, percentage of service games won, average aces a match, and then average double faults per match. Taking all those stats into account, Zverev has the second highest server rating in all of ATP. That is surprising considering where Zverev has been with this serve, especially his second serve. He's winning over 50% of second serve points at 53.5. There are plenty of players on the tour who are higher than that, but that's a good number for somebody who was having issues with double faulting. He's down to 2.2 double faults a match, one of the better numbers on tour, and he is winning 88% of his service games. I think this is third overall, maybe, on tour, behind only Jannik Sinner and Ubi Erkach. So that serve has come a long way for Zverev, to the point where he is rated second overall on tour. If we look at the under pressure leaders, Zverev is fifth overall under pressure, and Tabilo is 42nd. Now, the under pressure statistic takes into account four factors: percentage of break points converted, percentage of break points saved, percentage of tie breaks won and percentage of deciding sets won. And Zverev is the stat that stands out the most among those four. For Zverev is 75% of deciding sets he has won. One of the highest figures on tour. Looks like it might be second on tour behind, shockingly to me, Alexander Bublik. Bublik is eighth overall in under pressure leaders. He does not strike me as somebody who would be good under pressure, but the ratings say otherwise. So again, Zverev fifth under pressure and Tabilo 42nd. We do think this could be a lopsided affair, and we look for Zverev to cruise. So no bet here. May want to look and see if Tabilo does surprise in the first set, a live betting situation for Zverev to take it in three. The next match pits Nicolas Jarry against Tommy Paul. This is a very interesting matchup. If we look at the odds here, best odds you can get for Tommy Paul are minus 115 on DraftKings, and for Jarry, it's minus 105 on DraftKings. So the odds makers think this is going to be a tight affair, and we agree. This is certainly a contrast of styles. This is another matchup where there's not a lot of experience between the two players, right? So Tabilo and Zverev have never played. Tommy Paul and Nicolas Jarry played just one time. They met on the clay last year in Roland Garros second round, and Jarry took that in four sets en route to a fourth round showing at the French Open, where he lost to Casper Ruud there in the fourth round. Paul was the 14 seed at that time, or sorry, 16 seed, and Jarry was unseeded. So a little bit of an upset maybe on paper, but Jarry's ranking has gone up considerably since then. He is seeded, I believe, 23rd at this tournament, whereas Paul is, 21st at this tournament. Paul is 14th. So that's the only time they've played head-to-head. This is absolutely a contrast in styles. So Jarry, when we look at serve leaders on tour, he is 7th overall on the tour, 76.6% of first serve points won, and 86.9% of service games won. Tommy Paul is 32nd on tour. Paul, I think he has more oomph and more heft to his serve than he typically shows in matches. He will flash it every now and then, but he uses his serve as a way to start points rather than a way to win points. Paul only gets 6.2 aces per match and 2.3 double faults, whereas Jarry gets 9.4 aces and 2.1 double faults. So edge to Jarry when he is serving, but the return story is altogether different. Paul, one of the best returners on tour, and I don't think the numbers here reflect how good he is at returning. He's only getting 25.2% of return games won, but he's still managing a number 14 overall ranking on overall returning in the men's game. Jarry is outside the top 50, I believe. At 68. So he ranks 68th as a returner, winning just 16.9% of return games. So this is definitely going to be a match that is, again, how does Jarry serve and how does Paul serve? That's the story, right? I guess you could say how does Paul return and how does Jarry return, but to me, it's more important that I think if Paul serves well, he has enough to break Jarry, whereas Jarry, there'll be more pressure on him to hold every time because it's hard for him to break serve. So that's where I think Paul has the edge, in that it's the least likely event is that Jari's going to break serve, despite that being the weaker part of Paul's game. Paul has everything else going for him. He's got the mobility. He's got the accuracy. And recently we've seen in the last few months his ability to come to net and is unafraid to do so on slower surfaces. So Jarry's court positioning, I think, will be quite important as well. If he's standing behind the baseline, you know, 5'7", even 10 feet behind the baseline. Paul's going to take advantage of that by trying to kick his serve out wide and then coming in to close points off quickly. We've seen that strategy work against the likes of Daniil Medvedev, and I think it could work even better against somebody like Jarry, who can't return the way that Medvedev can, one of the best returners in the game. So if we were to bet this match, we're going to go with Tommy Paul. We might wait again for a live bet match. We're fine with minus 115, but we could see this first set being tight, a little bit of a feeling out process between the two players, especially since they've only played one other time. So we could see this, especially if Jarry serves first, we could see Paul getting plus money very quickly in a live bet scenario. And if so, that would be something that we would want to jump on. So we do favor Paul in this matchup. We're, again, fine with minus 115, but we think there could be a live bet opportunity where plus money comes into play. And that's something we prefer ahead of betting at minus money, of course. So in general, we like Paul to win this match and move on to the final against Zverev. That's what we're predicting for the semifinals tomorrow. When we look to Saturday, we have got another battle between Iga Świątek and Aryna Sabalenka, the number one and number two players on tour. Sabalenka got by the red-hot Danielle Collins today in straight sets. Collins is 19-2 since her loss to Świątek at Indian Wells. She won Miami and she won Charleston, and her two losses have come to Sabalenka today and prior in Madrid, I believe. So Collins has been unbelievable, playing top five tennis really for the last couple months, and Sabalenka was able to overcome a bit of a slow start and become more accurate as the match went on, and kind of overwhelmed Collins a little bit in the second set. So a really nice straight set win for Sabalenka, whereas Iga Świątek took care of number three seed Coco Gauff in the semifinals. Gauff played well, but has this hang-up with Świątek. She's 1-10 now, lifetime against Świątek. I believe the only win coming in Cincinnati last year, I want to say, in a tight three-set affair. So Gauff has that to overcome in her game. But who doesn't with the way Świątek has been playing? So let's get to the lines and the analysis. So this is unbelievable for the 1-2 player in the world that these are the lines at the WTA Rome final on Saturday. I mean, Sabalenka is clearly the number two player right now, with Iga obviously the clear number one. But I think that Sabalenka is overlooked because you look at like Gauff, you look at Rybakina, you look at the way Danielle Collins has been playing, and I don't think people realize how clear-cut Sabalenka is at number two. She is playing a significantly higher level of tennis than the rest of the field outside of Świątek. So this is the clear number one and number two. The shortest odds for Świątek right now are minus 350 on FanDuel. Minus 350. It's crazy. We have the odds for Sabalenka. Longest odds are plus 300. That's posted at DraftKings. We're fine with taking Sabalenka at plus 300. That is going to be our play. It is certainly a risk, but we saw this final in Madrid with Świątek and Sabalenka. And to me, that was the best match I've seen since the Cincinnati final between on the men's side between Carlos Alcaraz and Novak Djokovic. That one was a three-setter for the ages. And this match was Świątek and Sabalenka was right there with it. So head-to-head, Świątek is up 7-3. This match in Madrid just a couple weeks ago was Świątek taking it 7-5, 4-6, 7-6 in the third. Sabalenka had three match points that she failed to convert on, and Świątek and both Świątek and Sabalenka were very emotional after the match concluded. But Sabalenka, you know, she had that opportunity that she did not capitalize on in Madrid, but she beat Świątek in Madrid the year prior. So the fact that she has a win on clay against the best clay court player in a long time on tour is something that she can be confident about. And took her right down to the wire in Madrid. Unfortunately, didn't convert, but she has the ability to beat her on clay. She's done it before. The thing with Sabalenka is that she has 3 wins in 10 meetings against Świątek. All 3 of those meetings were in 3-set affairs, whereas Świątek has beaten Sabalenka in straight sets 5 of her 7 wins. So if Sabalenka's going to win this match, she's going to have to be ready to put in the work and the hours on the court, because the stats say that she's not going to be able to take this in 2 sets. She never has against Świątek. Świątek is going for a milestone on the WTA Tour. There's only been one player, you might be able to guess who it is, who has won Rome, Madrid, and Roland Garros in the same season. Of course, Serena. She took at all 3 in 2013, and Świątek is going for that. Trying to become the second player to achieve that record. Goff was, I don't know if it was maybe her most challenging match. Definitely the highest ranked player. Putintseva is always tricky, but she got by her. Kerber had a really, really good tournament. And Świątek took care of business there. And Świątek has a very good record against Madison Keys and beat her in back-to-back tournaments in both Madrid and Rome late in the tournament. Sabalenka had one extremely challenging match against Elena Svitolina, where Sabalenka saved 3 match points. She won 7-6 in the third in that match. But when she got through that match, played much better, beat Jelena Ostapenko in the quarters and Danielle Collins, as we said, in the semis. 2 hard hitters that Sabalenka outhit. So the power is there. As long as the serve is clicking for Sabalenka, I think that's going to be the key in this match. Can she get enough first serves in and put pressure on Świątek every single time she's serving to alleviate some of the pressure on her return? That, to me, is the key for Sabalenka. If Świątek plays the way she's been playing, she's going to win. Sabalenka is going to have to elevate her game to even higher than what she did today against Collins and really focus on first serve percentage and trying to maybe not even get aces, but get, you know, those winners on your first serve and play quick strike tennis before Świątek can get settled into points. I think that's going to be crucial for Sabalenka to execute on if she's able to, if she wants to win. So that's where we stand here. We are going to take Sabalenka because we think she has the ability to win, and there's probably no other time on the tour this year that Sabalenka will be plus 300. So that's going to be our official recommendation. Sabalenka to recover from the disappointments in Madrid and take home the crown here in Rome before Roland Garros. So the only official play that we have right now for the pod on these 3 matches is Sabalenka plus 300. As a quick recap, we do like Tommy Paul at minus 115. We're not going to take it because we feel, due to the likely closeness of the match between Paul and Jarry, that there will be a plus money opportunity for Paul in that match, and that's something we would take. And then a no play for Zverev and Tabilo. We like Zverev to cruise into the final and be favored over whoever his opponent is, either Paul or Jarry. So that'll do it for this episode of Tiebreaker Tennis. Thanks for tuning in. The semifinals for the men are tomorrow. I believe they start at 9:30 a.m. on Tennis Channel. And then you can tune in at 11 a.m. Saturday morning for the epic clash between Sabalenka and Świątek. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned to the Total Sports 24/7 Network for programming across the sports spectrum this weekend.